Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
And Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
Waiting on the miracle.
Yes, we are.
One day.
Yeah.
One day I feel it's coming.
I feel healthy right now, so.
Okay.
I'm all sorry.
Right, well, I'm
so sorry.
I am so glad. I just want to be able to say, I knew a saint. You know? But I don't want you to die, Tom. That would be sad.
Yeah, poor guy has to clarify stuff because people don't know this. He does, you know, he's a magician at birthday parties for kids. And people are like, is that the miracle? He's like, no. This is just a trick. That's not magic. I didn't miraculously pull that rabbit out of that.
That was just a trick. No, Tom is not a magician. He doesn't like magic because magic is bad, right?
Yeah, there's some dude out there right now going, golly, man, this guy really does all this stuff.
They want to hire you, Tom. And you know what? We want you hired.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, look, listen, this has gone beyond the pale. This is like, I'm about to call it a day.
Hit the edit button.
We're not doing a show. We're just gonna quit right here. He's not a magician anyway. He's a mysterician. Right? Because he's recoined it because magic is bad.
Magic is bad.
We Catholics do not believe in magic.
He just really likes that top hat.
Yeah.
Even though it covers up his beautiful hair.
It just sits right up on top of it.
Yeah.
But look, we're just so off the rails here. So
you two are having a good time today, aren't you?
Yeah.
At your expense, and I'm really sorry.
Okay.
Tom, I remember you telling me one time that one of your kids listened and goes like, Dad, they're so mean to you. You know, we were talking about your hair all the time back in the day. We've been doing this for almost 20 years.
For those in radio,
crazy?
Though,
crazy.
We're all hugging Tom to console him right now.
Yeah, it's a virtual hug, though.
Was podcasting even really a thing back
when
then?
When we started, we were on the we rode the wave of podcasting. We've ridden that wave all the way to mediocrity.
Cutting edge.
That's where we are. We're just firmly ensconced, just sitting in the middle.
Mediocrity.
nobody remembers us.
That could be a segue.
Yeah, mediocrity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of goes along with nominal.
It does.
Or minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Or mid, as the kids say.
Mid, as the kids. I don't know what the kids say. 6'7", something, whatever. Like that.
6'7".
Yeah.
That's why we got Sam on the show.
I know, exactly. We gotta have somebody here to represent.
Yes.
One of the things that happens, first Sunday of Lent, and people start. And they've already made their Lenten promises or what they're giving up for Lent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've talked about that before. We talked about it several times in our history. And everyone talks about it at the beginning of Lent, like what you're giving up and what you're going to do. And this Lent's going to be different, or this is going to be and plus, if you've got a cell phone, which like 99.9% of all the people that are in our audience do, and they're looking at it and they've signed up with this particular Catholic app or that Catholic app, or they've got some kind of news services or whatever newsletters that they get on their phone. And so you're inundated with make this Lent different, make this Lent count.
It's true.
We're getting, and so it's like Ascension. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
EWTN, we love EWTN.
And here we are talking about it.
And we're talking about it, and that's what happens. And so you're inundated with this thing about how to make this Lent better than every other Lent you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is it's important spiritually to kick things up a notch or whatever. But it kind of leads us to think that there's a lot of people that struggle with the concept of nominalism,
mm-hmm.
or minimalism,
mm-hmm.
Or midism, as the kids might say. I just made that up. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, Lent is a good time to sort of do that sort of self-reflection. Yeah, reflection, to reflect upon what it is you're doing.
Examination.
Where are you? You know, and what does it mean to, first of all, what does it mean to be a Catholic? And almost instantly these days, when people are asked, like, are you this or are you that?
Mm-hmm.
You look and go like, well, what are the standards on which that's based? Whatever mm-hmm. the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an accountant or if you're a hairdresser or if you're a Catholic, you know, what are the things that make you an accountant or a hairdresser or a Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll look at that and there'll be some requirements. right? And then if you meet these requirements, then you are this thing. Mm-hmm. And so it can kind of cause you to start thinking in a minimalist way. Like, well, all I need to do to be able to get this degree in accounting is have X number of hours at this school, pay my bills, right? Get this X number of hours that I pass. And then, and it's not likely that the person who becomes an accountant is going to go like, you know, I only needed 120 hours of accountant school, you know, stuff, but I'm going to go ahead and do 240. I'm just going to go ahead and just take it up a notch. You know, I'm going to be a really good accountant, so I'm going to take extra classes. Because a lot of people are like, look, I just need to graduate and start making some money. I just need to. So what is it that I need? It doesn't mean you don't love your job. It doesn't mean you don't love the field and or whatever the field is. It just means that you have this minimum amount of things that you've got to get to here. And once you get to that level, then you are that thing. If we live our Catholic faith that way, it can be problematic. I mean, it really can be, because you start thinking, well, I'm a Catholic. And you've heard like when you put I-N-O at the end of any word or name of something, and it's like the letters, and it's like a Catholic in name only.
Right.
You know, I-N-O, in name only. And it's like, I'm not really a Catholic. I just have qualified.
Mm-hmm.
I've met the minimal quantity of these things.
I checked the box.
Yeah. And like, for instance, like in our Catholic faith, if you open up your catechism, you will find the five precepts of the church. I'm not going to list them off here, but basically they're just the five.
I bet you Ziggy could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course he can. He just perked up, man. Do you see
that? Got his attention. Yes.
Attending Mass every Sunday, material support of the church, annual confession, receiving the Eucharist on Easter, and observing days of fasting and abstinence.
And giving financially to the Catholic Cafe.
Yes.
There's a sixth precept.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that one. Not letting them know that. We're just trying to get the word out. No, okay, so you know them. Good. That's awesome. And so people will say, like, so if I do those five things, then essentially I'm Catholic, right? Okay, I'm not going to say yes, because I think to some degree, all right, I'm not against the five precepts. I have to be very clear and very careful how I say what I'm getting ready to say.
You almost went down that slippery slope.
Yeah. These are not important. This is not good. Don't do the precepts. You know, it's like, no, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is,
you're just challenging us to grow.
If there's a list of five things that are the basic requirements, these are necessary to be Catholic, right? These are what the Catholic Church requires us to do. Well, if you look at it that way, then those can become your worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
They can become like, well, I've done what I have to do.
Like the young man talking to Jesus, I've done all of these things.
Yes, I've done. What do I need to do?
Yes.
It's like, oh, you've done all these things. That's great. And of course, he says to the young man, now go sell all your possessions.
Yes.
And it's like he walked away very sad.
Right.
Yeah, he had downtrodden. You know, all of a sudden it's like, wait, I've done all those things. Don't I qualify at this point? And Jesus always gives you one more.
Well, and one thing to clarify too, in terms of, you know, so the church precepts predate, you know, the push in that we've had over the past 100 years or so to have more frequent reception of the sacraments, both communion and confession, right? And so, you know, attending every Sunday, definitely, but in terms of only receiving at Easter, that used to be a tradition for many, because they held communion, and rightfully so, in such high regard, but the church has said, you know, you just need to be able to do, if you're receiving frequent confession, then you can receive frequent communion, and it's a good thing to receive both more. And so the church has been very clear about encouraging frequent reception of the sacraments
as being
a good thing.
I agree with that, but I don't always hear it. And I guess that's one of the and I'm not knocking all of our clergy for not preaching about it enough or whatever, but it doesn't seem like the church is focused so much on how to take it up a notch.
Yeah.
Now, I shouldn't say it. I also don't want to say, like, well, the Holy Father's doing a terrible job, you know, Pope, because Pope Leo is often speaking about ways to enhance our spiritual life and lift us up and to refocus and to, and so those are really, really good things. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm either disrespectful or ungrateful for what the Holy Father does in that regard. I just don't think people receive as well, maybe as they need to, in terms of like how we need to live our life. And so we end up falling into the nominal category.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, in the one way that the five precepts are helpful is if you're not doing those things, like, that's pretty bad, right? Like, that in terms of if you're talking to somebody and saying, like, yeah, I'm Catholic, but they're not attending church every Sunday, right? Or maybe they'll skip Easter, or they're not giving any material support whatsoever to their parish. I mean, these things are pretty serious, right? So, I mean, like, and there are Catholics who attend every single, and material support typically is money. It doesn't have to be monetary donations. I mean, it's based upon sort of where you are.
You might run the donut ministry on Sunday mornings, which is good. It's beautiful.
Time, treasure, and talent.
Right? Or something like that.
But if you're just there and you're not giving back in some way, that is a problem, right? So, like, in that bare minimum, we should ask ourselves, like, across these five categories, am I doing okay, right? And if you're not, like, that's pretty serious. But then I guess your point is we shouldn't stop there, right?
Yeah.
And there's a rule I've heard say that assume you'll the miss by one rule, right? So, like, if you're aiming for heaven, assume you'll miss by one and end up in purgatory. If you're aiming for purgatory, assume you'll miss by one and end up in hell.
That's not exactly a good...
No, but I mean, but I think it's an important... That's a good thing to remember. If we want, it kind of shakes you out of that minimalistic thing of saying, I want to do the minimum and get by, because, you know, the fact of the matter is, if you look at, you know, the traditions of spiritual theology, and there's a lot of different traditions of spiritual theology in the church, there's really no spiritual theology, correct me if I'm wrong, people in Radio Land, that says, like, that preaches a time in which it's okay to plateau, right? You're always supposed to be working to grow in some way wherever you are. I mean, that's part of the reason that our faith is about rebirth, renewal, resurrection.
Yeah, and St. J.P. II is all about the call to continuing conversion.
Yes.
Right? The idea that we're ongoing, we're on the journey, and we're not there yet, as the kids seem to ask all the time when we're on the trip in the car. They're like, are we there yet? Pope St. John Paul II said, no, you're not there yet. You need to keep going. And it's because we can always grow closer to Christ.
Yes.
Right? And so that's the attitude, I think, that we want. You mentioned, you know, one of the precepts, we think minimalistically. And now the minimalistic thing is, well, at least I go to Mass every Sunday. Right? But do you hit all the holy days of obligation? Because those are also included.
Yes.
In the precept, right? The precept actually says both. It says Sundays and days of obligation, or the holy days, keep all holy days. I don't remember the exact wording. You might remember it, but
right.
but the point is, you've got to go there. And so, you know, does that mean that, like, well, you know, on August the 15th, you know, the Assumption, yeah, I'm just not going to make it to Mass.
Yeah.
Right? And because if you go to Mass on August the 15th, which is a holy day of obligation, you go to that Mass, and then all of a sudden you realize that there's only like 23 people in the Mass with you at your parish. You're thinking, like, where is everybody? Because I know that we've got 1,800 families, you know, registered at this parish, and I don't see, this is a lot less than 1,800 families that are here. Mm-hmm. And you start thinking, like, well, why aren't they here? Now, again, I don't think your job is to go to the parish and do like a census and then announce to everyone, we noticed these following families were not represented. You know, that's not necessarily a good attitude to have. But it does show you that there's a lot of people who are falling short. And a lot of it is because they've sort of like started to dial into the nominal, minimal kind of attitude of like, let me just do what I can to get by.
Yeah.
Right? Now, that said, there's a couple other comments I want to make. One is, we don't need to be stuck on numbers. Right? We don't need to be stuck on numbers. And the other thing is, some of us are in a situation where we need help getting up to the minimum. Right?
Yeah.
We you've mentioned already that there are some folks that are struggling with their faith life, their spirituality, in a way where it's like they're way below where they need to be, and they know it, and they're trying. So that's good. It's like, let's get you at least to the minimum. Get you up to where you need to be.
And the minimums also have implied minimums, like you were getting as well, like when you were mentioning Sunday also includes honoring holy days of obligation. Receiving communion, you know, once a year, that's receiving it in a state of grace, honoring the pre-mass fast, right? So, like, you're not supposed to just be like, oh, it's Easter, I ate a donut right before, you know, communion, but I'm going to go ahead and take communion anyhow, even though I also haven't been to confession yet, you know, in 5 years, yeah. You know, so, and so when the church preaches frequent communion, connected to that also is frequent confession and honoring the pre-mass fast, which is not eating an hour before communion.
Right, an hour before receiving Holy Communion. Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, it's really all about your own attitude, and that's what we're kind of talking about. Because, you know, Tom, you're the one that brought us this whole concept of being a nominal Catholic.
You're going to blame me.
Because you are one. You're just like, Deej, I think I'm a nominal Catholic.
Yeah, the way the whole thing got started was... Do you remember that image that our bishop sent out? I don't know if he sends so much stuff out on Facebook, but
yeah, very approachable.
It was an image of the United States, and it showed like where all the faiths are around the country.
Yeah,
you know, Catholicism's really big up in the Northeast, the Midwest, and then you get to the South, and it's like there are no Catholics down here. We're talking about minimalism. That is minimalism right there. But so because of that, I get into kind of a lot of conversations. I'm sure y'all do too. With various Protestants about our faith and the discussion was about minimalism in their world and also our world, how the two matched.
Yeah,
it was a fun conversation.
But it helps you see that in all faiths there are human beings.
Yeah,
and in human beings there's a tendency to do just what you need to get by.
Yeah,
right. And that's so that's it's a good reason to talk about all this stuff, because what is it that motivates you? What is it that's driving you? What is it that I think we need to recognize and realize is that we're essentially called into our faith. We're called, mm-hmm. And so when we only
to grow,
yes, and when we only do the minimum, we're not hearing clearly that call. We're not really understanding what that call is constantly beckoning us closer and closer and closer and drawing us in. And that's what, otherwise we're like, hey, I'm rejecting the call, because the mm-hmm. call says, come and see, taste and see, come and be with me, come closer. And we're like, yeah, it's close enough. I'll just stop right there because I'm comfortable with this.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be problematic. And that's something that we need to address. And that's why we're looking at these precepts not as bad things. They're not bad. But if you set your sight on just doing the precepts, like Sam was pointing out, you know, if you're looking just at doing the precepts and the basic minimum, and you're not looking at the precepts as invitations to grow closer mm-hmm. and to continue in that, then there's a problem there, because you're gonna fall short of your own goal if you're setting your goal that way.
Do you know the Drzymskiism, Sam, where he describes what the church is a mom, you know, and what mom wants you to do is grow and she wants you to practice these certain things and do yeah. certain things around the house. And it's really not for her. It's for your sake. It's for you to grow. That's where my mind goes with this, which is, you know, imagine having Thanksgiving dinner and I'm going to be a minimalist. All I'm going to do is just show up.
Yeah.
I'm going to show up and I'm going to sit in the corner and I'm going to get my food and just kind of be to myself. Well, you know what? I checked the box. I showed up for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I was there.
But you're not there just for Thanksgiving. You're there to, you know, engage. Come join the family. Come sit at the adult table. We want you to be part of us. That's really what this is all about.
It sounds like a man that sat at the little table a lot.
I did.
In your life. But I'm glad you
made
it.
The only reason why I moved up was because I outgrew it.
Yeah.
Physically.
You were eating some of those dinners.
His knees were raising the table.
That's right. It turned into a tray.
All the kids' food was sliding into their laps. It was terrible.
You are exactly right, Tom, and you're venerable, because this is the thing. You know, this relationship, I love the fact the example you brought was a Thanksgiving dinner, because Eucharist means Thanksgiving.
I know.
You did an excellent job with that. And,
Maybe I did that on purpose.
Right, and we see the our faith really as a feast or a banquet that we're invited to, which is a foretaste for the banquet in heaven. And the thing is, we're called into fraternity, and we're called into sharing and an engagement, as you said, to use word engagement. And so that's exactly what we're called to do. And if we're only just there, then what's the point? If we're giving the base, you know, I give $10 a week, make sure I go to Mass every Sunday, don't always make it to the Sundays the holy days that are outside of the Sundays, you know, and I go to confession, I try to go once a year. Right. You know, when you're thinking like that, I don't know many people. I could probably name a handful of people who don't need to go to confession. Just I don't know their hearts. I can't look inside their inside their soul. But there's people like, that person's pretty holy, you know. And the thing is, holiness is not something that you do things to acquire. So where the Protestants are always right about Catholics in one regard is we can't work our way into heaven doing these things. That's why I was going at that numbers thing earlier, saying it's not about it's not a numbers game. How many do I need to do? I always give this example to folks and say, like when I'm teaching OCIA and talk about like faith and works and understanding that works is never going to be enough alone. Works alone is never going to be enough. Imagine if you prayed 583,000, you know, rosaries in your life, and then you go to judgment, right? And you're standing before the throne, or St. Peter's, like, at the gates. And it's like, okay, I see here 583,000 rosaries. That's really good, Jeff. Way to go. I'm really proud of you. Unfortunately, it's 583,001. So you're not going to make it. And he presses this button. You hear the buzz, and you go down this chute. I'm not going to say where it goes. But the point is, it's not a numbers game. It's not about how many you do. It's about attitude game. It's about a spiritual game. It's about your heart. You know, mi corazón. It's like, what is on your heart? What is it that is drawing you, you know, and that's the difference, and that's what these precepts are supposed to lead to, and the thing that's beautiful about grace is that when you experience grace, it increases your hunger for grace. So it's like this self-fulfilling thing that happens in your body, in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, that you hunger for more in a good way. And that's what we're called into. And when we don't do that, when we fall short, or we set our goal or our sights short and just doing the minimum. Let me make sure I get my prayers done today. Mm-hmm. I've caught myself doing that so many times. And I do like try to apologize, you know, in my heart to God. So I'm sorry, I'm thinking of this in terms of just accomplishing what I have to do today.
Checking the box.
Because this is my obligation. I said when I was getting ordained, they said, you're going to do morning and evening prayer as a deacon. Okay, I'm going to do that. And so I can, on certain days, I'll be going, oh man, I need to get those in. Mm-hmm. You know, and you get those in. And so it's like, is that the right attitude? The right attitude is, that's not the right attitude, right? And so we really need to start thinking more virtuously about how we're approaching our faith.
Well, I'd like to, you hit the nail on the head right there in terms of saying virtuously, because I think we can look at the virtues as a good framework for exploring some of this stuff, right? So like beginning with the theological virtues, faith, hope, charity, right? So faith is the supernatural grace to believe what the church has revealed to be true is in fact true, right? And so this is also an important point, because when a person comes into communion with the church, they're affirming belief in what the church says. As Deacon Jeff, have you said in plenty of episodes, when we say amen, when we're saying communion, we're saying amen in communion with the church, and we're affirming the beliefs of the church. And so
let it be as you say it is.
Yes. And so if we're talking about nominal versus Catholics versus like Catholics who are living the faith, like you have the term cafeteria Catholics, so people who say, well, I'm going to pick and choose what I believe. Listen, you can't do that. We can struggle saying, I don't understand why the church teaches that. That's not a sin. Obstinate doubt is a sin. Or just saying, I just choose to not believe that. That's problematic. But struggling with the faith, that's an opportunity to learn. That's an opportunity to grow and ask questions and seek pastoring, right? But faith, that's what faith is, according to St. Thomas Aquinas. And then hope is taking that faith and the grace that is applied to our intellect in faith is applied to our will. And we're putting that faith into action. So if we're a creature of faith and hope, then we're at least believing what the church, we're doing our best to receive what the church has taught us to be true, and we're receiving it as true, and we're trying our best to put it into action. The third one, charity, is kind of a special case, because on one hand, if you're a baptized Catholic and you're in a state of grace, you have charity, right? You have that divine life within you. But charity, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas defines as friendship with God. So actually growing in that friendship with God, growing in that charity where you're loving people and loving the things of the earth for God's sake, that's the journey to sainthood. I mean, there's a broad spectrum in association with that. But, you know, just as St. Paul says, no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me, recognizing that that is something that God wants. He wants to live through you in a unique and unrepeatable way. And I think faith and hope are sort of the kindling for the fire that makes charity possible. So, you know, receiving the church as a source of truth and trying to put that truth into action is critical to trying to grow in that life of charity. And then, of course, by extension, all the other virtues.
Yes, exactly. So to live more virtuously, right? And so here's the thing. Here's our challenge. Our challenge is, what are we going to do this Lent? And I think it's time to become an all-in Catholic. I think it's time to have an all-in Lent. Let's let this Lent be the jumping off point, the starting point for a whole new understanding of being 110% of who you're called to be in terms of your faith in living in a virtuous life. And following in the ways of the church. And so let's look at those precepts and let's pray upon that. And how do we take this idea of going, how do we go from a minimalistic or nominalistic Catholic to an all-in Catholic who just really embraces who they are, what they are, whose they are. And I think it's going to make a huge difference this Lent and really for the rest of your life. So all-in Catholic, all-in Lent, and this is what we're called to. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.